Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. And to make it confusing, I recorded this a month ago as we were approaching Christmas. So now we're looking at the Christmas story in the rearview mirror. But you know what? You can wonder that way too. My name's Norm Seeley, and I am a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I will be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the world's changed, and I've changed, and so I expect my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to what I said 3 years ago, but I am looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying now. I want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while, we may go a couple of minutes long. And you should know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I have recorded 4 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, you can find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church in Ontario. So, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. Right now, we're in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. We began the chapter, of course, by hearing about the birth of Jesus. Jesus born in Bethlehem, Mary put him in a manger, and, well, and then this. So here it is, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. In that region, there were shepherds lying in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. There you go. I don't know about you, but as I was reading it, I could hear the voice of Linus. Charlie Brown Christmas. I can't help it. I hear it so clearly. I also had a small moment of chuckle as I can remember my childhood me listening to this and hearing that they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And it sounded to me like Mary and Joseph and the baby were all together, three of them co-sleeping, tucked into the manger. I remember that as a kid. I just remembered it now. I don't think it has anything to do with anything. I don't think I'll wonder about it, but it did make me smile. It's funny how we have sentimental attachments to these things, to these stories. We know them so well. We hear them in our hear them in our childhood memories. And of course, the thing with that is then we tend to keep them in our childhood, and we think of them as we did when we were children. And so sometimes it's hard to to wonder about them, to reimagine them as adults, because we have these wonderful warm memories, child memories in our heads, of Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger together and giggling and laughing, and that's not in the story, but it is in mind. And the brave, naive voice of Linus tells the story a certain way, and so I often hear it that way, but I'm trying to get rid of those for a moment and just listen to the story as if for the first time. And it's interesting that Luke takes us to the shepherds. At least I think it's interesting. Right, so the baby's been born, baby is lying in a manger. We've got that. Now we go to the shepherds. When I do Christmas pageants, of course, it's the shepherds who first hear about it. That's kind of the way I think of it. The shepherds hear about it first because the angels tell the shepherds first. The shepherds come down. That's the way I set it up in my nativity scene. The shepherds are there. But in the text, it suggests to me that there are others too. Right? They went with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And they saw this. They made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. All who heard it. So Mary and Joseph were amazed? Yeah, that's possible. But you think Luke would have said that? It suggests to me that there are others there. So this has become an event. There's a child born. So it makes sense that there are others there. I don't know how long it takes the shepherds to get there. They got to come down from the hills. They have to have their vision. They've got to come down. I don't think it takes days. It probably takes hours. But in that time, word has gotten out and other people are there. And the shepherds come to testify in a sense. Right? That's, I'm wondering why does Luke give us shepherds and why do we go right to the shepherds in the story? Well, because the shepherds are the ones who are going to come and tell the others who are there that this is a holy thing happening here. Because they've had a mystical experience, they've had a faithful experience, right? The angels have said to them, this will be the sign for you. Okay, here's the good news, okay? A Messiah born for you. And you're going to know this because if you go to Bethlehem, you're going to find a child wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. And you don't often find children lying in mangers. Okay, maybe from time to time you might, but not very often. This is a unique thing. So they come down, they find the child in the manger, and then they convey to the other people, they had an experience of angels. The angels told them. What this is setting off in my mind is that they have a faith experience. They come down to others who are having an experience and they share their experience. And in doing that, the others who are there, they are amazed. Their experience is deepened. That just think about that for a moment. The shepherds come and say, wow, this is an amazing thing. Look at this baby in the manger. Angels told us about it. And that's how we know that this is holy. This is the Messiah. And the people there didn't go, oh yeah? Well, we've been here from the very beginning, buddy, and I don't know what you're talking about, but we didn't see any angels. So we know this is a special baby. We can all sort of feel it. You can feel it in the air, my gosh. But I don't know. They're not arguing from different perspectives. They're sharing them. The shepherds have an insight because the angels told them. The people there also have an insight. They've been there witnessing. They might have been there for the moment of birth. They might have been talking to Mary and Joseph. The thing is, they are open to this other perspective, this other witness. And so they're sharing. Right? Mary hears these words and treasures them in her heart. Right? Treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart, it says. So Mary takes everything that she's hearing, everything she's experiencing, and she's pondering. She's wondering about it. She doesn't know what it means immediately. Yes, she spoke to the angel Gabriel, but now in the experience, like, what does this mean? What will this involve? What is this, how is this going to affect my life. I know my life is changing, but how is it going to change? What's that all going to be about? Mary's going through a lot here. But so, by the way, are the shepherds. So are the other people who are gathered there. So is Joseph. Everybody is listening to each other. And everybody is daring to talk to each other. That's a very big thing, I think. And yeah, we could say, well, that's probably just sort of a modern look in, Norm. You know, because you feel that people don't talk to each other about their faith enough. That's kind of a reoccurring theme with you. So there you found it. Sure, maybe. Maybe. But Luke is the one who takes us to the shepherds and the angels right away, as soon as the baby is born. And then brings the shepherds down to where there are other people. Luke could have told the story a whole bunch of different ways. Could have talked with the other people. He doesn't talk with the other people. No, he brings the shepherds down. And he can, so the shepherds are witnesses with a unique perspective. They are that. Shepherds are also not uplifted in society as an example of success. You know, I mean, shepherds weren't necessarily losers, but they weren't winners. You know, if you're shepherding someone else's sheep, you got a labor job and not a particularly skilled labor job. I mean, there is some skill involved, but a whole bunch of shepherds, your job basically just watch the sheep, chase away the wolves. So no, they weren't seen as elite. You were not thrilled if your son or daughter was about to marry a shepherd. I mean, you weren't upset necessarily, but you weren't thrilled. You sort of get it. And you know, shepherds lived out in the hills. They are literally outsiders. So this witness, this conveyor of holy truth, angels spoke to them. That witness is coming from unwashed outsiders who are not particularly revered by community. They're not Pharisees. They're not rabbis. They're nothing special. There is something, I think, probably in that. But also, and I know this is a theme that I do come back to quite often, they come at some risk. I mean, if you're a shepherd, you really have one job. Watch the sheep. That's your job. Your one job, watch the sheep. Every now and again, some sheep may go this way. You might have a sense that there's some kind of predator or wolf, you know, that kind of thing, over that way. And you've got to sort of manage what you're going to do. Well, let's protect these sheep and go get those sheep and let's move the sheep. Like, I get that. But by and large, your job is watch the sheep. That's all you have to do. Now, when they hear the news from the angels, right, and the angels leave, they say, let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that's taking place. So they had one job to do, and now they're not doing that job. They don't say, listen, let's leave you three guys back behind. The rest of us will go, and then maybe we'll come back and you can go and see what's happening. No, they don't do that. They completely let go of, well, their jobs, the one thing they're supposed to do, watch the sheep. Because I can say this, when they're in Bethlehem, they're not watching the sheep. So it seems to me that perhaps Luke is suggesting that there are times when faith is more important than our jobs. You go, well, yeah, absolutely. Sunday school me says, absolutely, of course it is. Yeah, but where? When? How far do we go on that one? Is my faith more important than my children? And this is a very real one for some. I know of people who have disrupted their relationship with their children. They've cut their kids off because the children would not respect or conform to the parents' faith. I am thinking about those who stopped talking to their children when the children came out as gay, lesbian, bi, trans, queer, somehow, right? And they shut them out because they read the Bible in such a way that they feel they have to choose. I choose between my faith and my kid. And they choose their faith. So I can read the story and go, well, here's a great example when you choose your faith over your job. But really? Always? Huh. Because I don't think that I could choose my faith over my kids. Could I choose my faith over my job? I guess it depends on how important my job is to me and to others. So I'm the only one who's got a job. I'm the only one bringing money in to the household. It is clothing the children. It is feeding us. Maybe not doing it well, but it's doing it just enough. And the job needs me to work. Easter weekend, let's say. Good Friday right through Easter. But my faith is important to me, and religious observance and the example I give my kids. And so do I say to my boss, no, you can't ask me to work Good Friday and Easter. Absolutely not. I refuse. No. Can I do that? So I lose my job. Now I can't afford the food. Now I can't take care of my family, my responsibility. It's not as obvious sometimes. Now, similarly, I don't think well, I know you always choose the job. No, I don't think that's true either. I think that our jobs, the roles we play in the world, can often invite us into bad practices, into immoral or corrupt actions. But we say, well, I know, but it's just work, it's just the job. So, yeah, I know that the company I'm working for, I know that when all is said and done, we're actually kind of ripping off those people over there. Yeah, they don't have all the facts, and they don't really appreciate, what's happening to them. They don't realize that they're just digging themselves in deeper. But that's not my job to tell them. It's just business. Oh, yeah. And that's when I go, no, absolutely. You need to choose your faith. You need to be moral, and you need to care about human beings more than you care about your job. Yeah. So that's when I'm going to choose the people over the job. But it's not easy. Which might be why I really appreciate Mary. I can see me turning this into a sermon. I didn't mean to. It's just the pieces are starting to fall together. Because Mary takes all this in and ponders all of these things in her heart. I think sometimes we need to ponder. I don't think that it makes sense to put our jobs above everything we do always. Job above faith, job above family. No. But there are times when maybe we have to weigh it all out. I think for me, as I listen to the story, what I realize is though is that my faith needs to be at least as important as those other things I'm trying to juggle. Not a, whatever. Yeah, it has to be at least as important. I have, lots of colleagues and friends and folks around the church, who decry, well, kids don't come to church anymore. We don't think for a second it's our fault. Or church culture. No, it's not that. No, it's hockey, it's soccer, and it's all the programming for kids, and it's all done on weekends. And so, kids are on the ice playing hockey on Sunday morning, so they can't come to church. And when the hockey season's over, there's soccer or lacrosse or football. There's always baseball. There's always a sport somewhere. And with kids, that's often happening on Sundays, and we just can't compete with that. And they're not wrong that definitely impacts what happens in church. It absolutely does. And I think that sometimes, I would advise parents. I know it certainly became something for my wife and I when our kids were young. But you need to look at the life of faith and figure out where it fits into the mix. not just, well, we go to church when there isn't soccer, there isn't ballet, there isn't judo, there isn't tennis. That's when we go to church. Well, maybe you need to work cooperatively with everybody involved and prioritize, you know what, but there has to be a time for this kind of growth in faith, this kind of community, this kind of interaction. And so we're going to make that at least as important as playing soccer. So how are we going to make that work? And I think when we work creatively, those things can happen. But I think more often than not, we go, well, the faith thing is what we do with our spare time. The shepherds walked away from their jobs. This is not their spare time. Right? They prioritize their faith in that moment. I think that's another reason Luke picked them. And by the way, they went with haste. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph. They wanted to hurry. Now, maybe they wanted to hurry because they wanted to get back to the flock because they are taking their job seriously, even though they're abandoning their job for a period of time. Or maybe they were just so excited by this news. A Messiah, really? Something that will change the world? They were excited. They wanted to see what it was. They wanted to see the new thing, the new hope, the new promise, the sign of God in the world. That's what they wanted. So they went with haste. How often do we hurry into faith situations? That's a fair question to ask in the light of this story too. How often, I don't mean how often do we rush to church, but you know, when something new is going to happen, how often do we want to get there? I'm not kidding. Right now, there's two different TV series actually that I stream that are being, you know, presented one episode a week, just like the old days. I can't binge them; they're one at a time, and I can't wait for them. I can't wait. And oh my gosh, you know, on Wednesday when that episode's available, I'm home, and well, actually, I finish. My responsibilities usually just a little bit after 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, and bang, I'm watching that show because I cannot wait to see what happens next. How often do we do that with our faith? How often do we? I mean, one of the greatest compliments that I've received, and I've heard it more than once. Ooh, lucky me. But I have people who will say to me, "Yeah, I don't like to miss a Sunday because you never know what's going to happen." I have people who will talk about Sunday worship as being an exciting thing. Now, I could review that critically, but I said, well, it's because you're just making it novel and fun, but is it really deepening people's faith? But I think that we are doing that. And I think that from time to time, there are people who are absolutely excited about exploring their faith. They are excited about being community where they belong, where they contribute, where whether they're people gathered around the manger or shepherds just arrived with a new perspective, they are welcomed and they are heard and they are excited about that. If that's not happening for you in your practice of faith, maybe you need to think about how to make that happen. Find that thing that gets you excited and draws you in. Yeah, I didn't know I was going to think about any of these things when I started just about 22 minutes ago. But you know what? I think I've done enough with this for now. I encourage you to spend a little time with us today and try to come at this story as if you've never heard it before. See if you can let go to sentiment and childhood memories and just wonder about it fresh and brand new. Spend some time pondering these words in your heart. For my part now, I'm just going to offer a prayer. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for Christmas and the stories of Christmas. Thank you for the deeper truth that you are with us in our humanity. You are present with us. Thank you, God, for your presence and your word that we hear as we dare to wonder about stories written long ago. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's enough of me for now, but I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, and we'll sort of wrap up the Christmassy part of this gospel before we take a break. And until I see you, God bless. Please know that God sees you and loves you exactly as you are, and that God's love moves through you into the world in amazing ways. You truly make a difference. You matter. Thank you for being you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.